You're listening to the Cornish Soccer Rappo and Deke's Friday Fix.
Welcome to another Rappo and Deke's Friday Fix. Well, actually, because of Easter, we're coming to you a day earlier this week. So it's really the 28th of March, 2024. And something else for today, I'm afraid there's no Rappo, as because we're a day short this week, we had a problem both having the same time available to get together. All being well, the man will be back next week.
Make sure you don't miss an episode of the Rappo and Deke's Friday Fix by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Just search for Cornish Soccer Talking Football and you've got it.
Now then, as most will know, there's a load of football coming up over the next few days throughout all the leagues. And as always, you can find these listed on the Cornwall Football Forum and, of course, on the league's respective websites. Time is of the essence, and I'm not going to list or mention all the fixtures coming up over the Easter period. There's far too many. And so let's just hear instead from some of the people involved. This week, we've got a guest from each of the Saturday leagues that our Cornish clubs play in.
From the National League South through to the St. Piran League, this is the place to be.
For those that don't know, there's a ground hop going on in the Southwest Peninsula League over the next couple of days. Let's find out more from our resident Peninsula League expert, Phil Hiscox. Well, one man who's going to have his feet up over the Easter weekend is Phil Hiscox.
Oh, yeah, nothing to do this week, nothing to do.
No, exactly. The season's over almost, isn't it? it's a crazy time. Well, not helped by ground hop, but I bet you're looking forward to getting it started and running, aren't you?
Absolutely. Get it started. Get the rally games played. Let's have some fun. Why do I let myself in for these things? Why do I suddenly think it was a good idea? Let's organise an Easter ground hop. Yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah, it won't rain. It will be... It'll be far
sunnier and cozy next season when it's in Cornwall, Phil.
Well, particularly as actually Easter next year is this year Easter falls on its earliest point. Next year it falls on its latest point.
Ah,
it's actually the penultimate weekend of the season.
Oh no! Right,
next season. Yeah, yeah. We really will be at the business end.
Right. Well, let's talk about this season, first of all. Bring us up to date with the Watersea Parson League Cup, because you were at a game, well, Tuesday night, weren't you?
Yeah, we got the second semi-final played at the second attempt. That's quite good, actually. I mean, we'd normally go in third and fourth attempt, don't we? And like the previous semi-final the week before, the team that lost were 2-0 up. The team that won managed to force extra time with the late equaliser to make sure we had value for money.
Mm-hmm.
Bridport 2-0 up fairly early. Oakhampton scored a goal just before half time, which you knew then it wasn't all over at half time. Definitely the turning point came early in the second half. Oakhampton ball across the top. Dan Coiter, I don't know how you pronounce it, used to play for Tavistock. He ran onto it. The Bridport keeper ran out of his penalty area, realised he wasn't going to get the ball, and yes, he took the man.
Oh dear.
There was no complaints. It was the simplest red card you'll ever see.
No.
But then you had an outfield player in goal. I'd have to say that the outfield lad, he did really well. A few unorthodox saves, but he did his best. Well, I suppose firstly that Oakhampton only scored one in the sort of 35 minutes that they had, and then that was the one that forced extra time.
Mm.
And then I felt a bit sorry for the goalkeeper then, because the shot was savable and he got a hand to it, but I suppose goalkeepers know where to palm the ball to.
Mm.
And he didn't palm it to the right place, if you know what I mean. And it ended up spinning up and going back above him and across the line.
Oh, dear. Right. So, Oakhampton go through. And, of course, they are the holders, aren't they?
They are, yes. Yes. So, it's a while since we've had anybody retain it. I do believe Bodmin retained it many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's unusual to have the same teams in the final these days. We've certainly had a... Good, yeah. I'm just having a look. Bodmin 2012-2013 were the last team,
right? So over 10 years ago,
to win it 2 years running, yeah. Ever since there's a different, some teams have won it again, but not 2 years running since.
Okay, yeah. Oakhampton seem to have saved themselves for the cup this season, haven't they?
Absolutely. They're obviously the best in the FA Cup, pretty good in the FA Vars. And like I say, here they are in the final of the League Cup. So, yeah, probably underachieved in the league. But, yeah, on their day, they certainly are a team that can beat anybody.
Yeah. Okay, so when and where is the final?
Right, that one's on the May Day Bank Holiday Monday, the 6th of May, 2 p.m. kickoff at Bobby Tracy, which is pretty well halfway at Elburton and all trip along the A38. Oakhampton will cut across down from the Moors to Bovey.
Right.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay. The sad note is that I've got to say this, we're still having games called off, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. Last Saturday wasn't too bad. I lost just 2 to the weather. But midweek, I lost 4 out of 5 league games.
And quite early call-offs, really, aren't they? Everywhere is so wet, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Monday's weather just faded, didn't it, to be honest? I think the only reason we got the cup game and the one league game played at Axminster was because I think that far corner of East Devon towards Dorset sort of missed the worst of it on Monday. But I did see on Tuesday night, although you know, it was drier down here, a lot of games called off along the south coast and the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
But the Brunt on the Tuesday.
It's not good for them, but it's a little bit. It's a little bit comforting that it's not just Devon and Cornwall that's suffering, isn't it?
There's a website, Non-League Matters, that has a thread of games off, and sometimes when you've had a really bad day, it's actually quite reassuring to check. Oh yeah, they lost a load as well.
Yeah, sad that we are, but okay. Can I take you back to last Saturday? The shock result, I thought, Ivy Bridge going down.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, they've had a couple of dodgy results. Look at it, wasn't that long ago they drew at Stoke Gabriel. They'll get across the line, I'm convinced of it. They need 7 mathematically, with their goal difference, probably 6 will do. And they've got games. But they're certainly, you know, still need a couple of wins. There was talk on Friday night when Crediton lost that Ivybridge could win it at Easter.
Mm.
But you know, Saturday's result meant that they can't. Basically, it's even if Crediton lose on Good Friday and Ivybridge win on Saturday, it still wouldn't get them quite across the line there.
No, right. So anyway, we've got loads of games coming up, and we starting off Thursday evening and going through. Well, complete weekend, isn't it, basically? Well, you got Sunday off, I think, haven't you?
Sunday and Tuesday. I'm going to eat my Easter eggs on Sunday and wash my hair on Tuesday.
Right. Okay. So, Groundhop, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we've got people coming from far and wide, as always, from Scotland and the north, lots of Londoners. So we start Thursday night, as I said, Honiton versus Sidmouth. Then Good Friday, a day in North Devon. Torrington at 11:30, Torridge Side at 3 o'clock, and then the first bit of Cornish interest at 7 p.m. Holsworthy, which I know is in Devon, but they're playing Bude. So I quite fancy that on a Friday night with the Groundhop, Holsworthy Bude. I think there'll be a hell of a crowd for that one.
It should be quite a good game as well.
I mean, Holsworthy Bude generally gets a good crowd. Yeah. A Friday night football gets a good crowd. Add in a Groundhop, really should be quite something special that night, I think.
Mm.
And then Saturday, bright and early, we do cross into the Duchy for Liscard versus Dodballs at 11:30. And then a little trip back along the A38 for Elburton at 3 o'clock and Ivybridge at 6:30.
And then everyone goes home.
And everyone goes home. And I breathe a huge sigh of relief.
Yeah. Going back to the Good Friday games, Torrington at 11:30, Torridge Side at 3 o'clock. How far apart are those?
About a mile. The biggest issue with all these things is the logistics of getting people out of car parks and then into car parks, yes. Which is part of the reason why you can't just assume it will. You know, you can't kick off 10 minutes later because it doesn't. It takes a little bit longer than that to get everybody sorted and organised.
And which of the games? We've already touched on the Holsworthy Bude, but which other game would you say is the tasty one as such?
I suppose Ivory Bridge say that they're going to be close to wrapping up the title. Some of the Hoppers, and I presume they'll do it again this year, they run a sweepstake on the number of goals they'll see over the seven games.
All right.
And Ivory Bridge top versus Dartmouth bottom could be a bit of a spanner in the works of the last game, couldn't it? You could think you're in the money and then suddenly you may not be, or not in the money and suddenly you might be.
Oh, yeah. Blimey.
Although Dartmouth got a win the other week, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. So how many goals would you go for then?
Well, seven games, you've got to say 3.5 a game, so I'll go 30.
30, right. Okay. Of course, you're a man who's used to seeing a lot of goals, aren't you, really?
Absolutely. It's Saturday, 6-2 at Stoke Gabriel. It's one of the eight on Saturday. I was at the highest scoring game. After my disappointment of a goalless draw last week, which I know Rappo pointed out that he thought there was a law against me seeing goalless draw.
That's right.
Yeah, Rappo, 6-2 Saturday, mate. I was all right.
Right. Okay. Order was restored as such. So, and Honiton against Sidmouth is where it all kicks off, 7:30 Thursday. Honiton, now, we've got one eye on the weather, I have to say. I hate to say it, but yeah. Honiton's pitch, how's it not, take the rain?
Not the best in things. They have a particularly wet patch in front of where they built the stand, mainly because the stand was erected just before the season started, and I think the vehicles that went onto the pitch compressed an area of land. What I would say about the Groundhog Games is clubs push the boat out to get games on. The pressure is on to play, and I'm not going to say that all games are on anyway, but we have a habit of forcing the issue, shall we say.
Yeah, poor old referee might come under a bit of pressure perhaps before the game.
I might promise him a cup final. Don't know how many cup finals I've got to promise. Hopefully I've got seven, I can promise.
Right. I remember a few years back, was it Godolphin against Newquay, where it was a little bit wet and muddy, wasn't it?
We've had a few over the years that really perhaps shouldn't have been played. Axminster a few years back, and there were actually literally ducks come out off the pond behind the camera on the pitch at one point.
So that's the Groundhog. Anyway, you're all ready for it. You've got people coming down, from all over the place. And they're a unique bunch of people, aren't they, really, these Groundhoppers?
Absolutely. I had somebody at one of the clubs the other day asking about whether I needed security. And I said, no.
That's the least thing to worry about, I would have thought.
Yeah, we've never had any trouble on that front. They are, I hate to make stereotypes, but largely middle-aged males, likely to know their railway locomotives quite well and quite possibly have a copy of the Good Beer Guide in the car.
Right. Okay. Where are they all staying when they come down here? Is there one special place?
There's no special place this year. The ones that are on the coach, they know that the coaches are leaving and departing, departing and joining Exeter St David's. That's an area of Exeter where there is a good level of accommodation, Premier Inns and guest houses, because it's by the station. It's also near the university. Those that are making their own way around, they have the sort of freedom to choose where to stay, really. And some of them, of course, stay down for the whole weekend. They'll take out other games in on Monday and things.
Yeah. And, there are games on Monday. But first of all, let's look at the West Division on Good Friday. And the top, one of the top two are in action, obviously, on Friday. St Austell, they can march towards the league title with a home game against Newquay.
I don't want to put any pressure on Newquay, but they are the team that holds the key, aren't they? They've got St Austell this week, and they've also got to play Lithgow twice. So if you look at the sort of top of the league, of the West table, and think who's going to take points off St Austell and Lithgow, well, Newquay says they still have to play three of the four games against those two.
Yeah, that's right. Then, of course, Saturday involved in the Groundhop is that Lisgard versus Dob Walls game, 11:30 at Lux Park. It's funny, isn't it, how we've sort of expected Ivy Bridge to win the East for quite a while, but the West is totally different, isn't it? It could go either way for St Austell or Lisgard, couldn't it?
still at the situation where there's less than one, even when you catch up on the games, that you're less than one result in it. So you could, if nobody drops a point, you'd still be on that situation on the last Saturday of the season where Lisgard, it would be in their hands, but they would still actually have to win on the last day. So you'd still, you know, you wouldn't be going there knowing you're presenting. I had it once years ago where you actually have both cups in the car, the champions and the runners up. And I can remember once having to give the team that needed to win the title the runners up cup, and they weren't very impressed.
Oh, ouch. Yeah. Okay. And of course, and the two of them have still got to meet each other in the senior cup, haven't they? So
senior cup, another week again after Easter, isn't it? That's not next week.
Yeah, 9th of April. Again. That's right. Yeah. Okay. So lots of games coming up. Now, there's also games on the 1st of April, Easter Monday. Eight league games, aren't there? So
yeah, I mean, normally with the Senior Cup normally being on Monday, I tend to try not to have games involving the West teams because it was a fairly early decision that it wouldn't be on Easter Monday. What I do tend to use Easter Monday for, though, is because I don't ever schedule any fixtures at the start for that day. So I'm looking for games where really, it should be a Saturday fixture. It shouldn't be a midweek fixture, but I haven't got any Saturdays left. And the three in West are smack absolutely with that. So you've got Bude at home to Truro, Callington at home to Mullion, and Holsworthy at home to Wendron. So all three of the away teams are doing some mileage, but at least they're doing it in daylight, not of an evening game.
Yeah. And when do the clocks change? Sunday, do they?
Sunday, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Right. Okay, so lots of games coming up. Just recap, Phil, where you're expected to be seen over the weekend?
Well, so obviously all the seven Groundhog games, I'm stewarding the coach. So
no trouble on the coach, please.
Yeah, if all the coach don't get there, it means I've got lost somewhere. and then Monday, probably Bovey Tracy Newton Spurs. I was trying to go to Bovey the other week to talk to him about the cup final arrangements, and that was washed out. So given that they're not at home in the hop, a trip there on Monday. And then Wednesday night, I quite fancy Lisgard versus Newquay.
Oh, yes. Right. Okay. Well,
just also quickly on Wednesday, there's also Truro Reserves versus Weybridge. Now, I have put a note on the website that game has been reversed, and Truro, because they haven't got floodlights, are playing that game at Weybridge.
Right. Well, whilst we're talking about switching grounds, any news on Bodmin?
Yeah, the electrician has been. He's ordered some parts. They've moved the St. Denis game for the Saturday after Easter, the 6th, but they hope to be playing home games from the 13th of April onwards.
Right.
And I understand their reserves played last week, but the players had to get changed in their cars.
Yeah, that's right. And can we expect a game, a South West Peninsula League game at St. Denis?
Oh, bloody hope so.
Soon.
Soon. mean, I'm glad that's not on the ground like this year.
25th of November, their last league home game.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with St. Denis, they've only actually got one away game left. So
no wonder.
They don't get their pitch play. It's odd. Mullion and Sticker have finished their home games, so they're sort of all our games are away. And then you look at St. Denis, and all your away games are finished.
Well, we often say it's a funny old game. It's been a funny old season so far, hasn't it?
It has. I did look, actually. It end of October, we started. If you go on my postponement thread on the league website, there were weather postponements at the end of October. here we are. It'll be April next week, and we're still talking about the weather.
Yeah. And I haven't said fingers crossed yet today, so...
mine are constantly crossed, aren't
they? Right. Well, look, enjoy the weekend if you can, Phil. I'm sure it'll be... it will all go swimmingly. Well, oh, no, I shouldn't say swimmingly, should I?
Yeah, it might do.
Right. Okay, well, and we'll catch up next week. Thanks very much.
Look forward to it.
Yes, the Ground Hop starts today, Thursday, and let's hope the weather is kinder than it has been over the last few weeks. It's primarily a Devon-based hop, but there is one game taking place in Cornwall. That's on Saturday morning, kick-off 11:30 a.m., and it features the home side Lisgard taking on their neighbours from 3 miles down the road, Dob Walls. Well, it's welcome, Ben Washam. How are you doing, Ben? What's happening at Dob Walls at the moment?
Oh, good, thank you. Yeah, well, obviously we haven't played for a while, so it was nice to get a game, really, Saturday.
How does that affect players and management, in the sense that you get ready for a game, then it's called off, then you get ready for a game, it's called off. It must be heartbreaking, mustn't it?
Oh, it's a nightmare, because you work all week, you know, you work all week to get all your plans ready, and then you get told on Saturday morning the game's off, so your training's gone out the window, really. And it's hard to keep the motivation of the players, and to keep them motivated is really difficult.
Yeah. Anyway, it didn't do you any harm this past Saturday, did it? A great result at Newquay.
Yeah, it was. You know, we looked at the game, and we're looking, you know, to finish as high as possible. So I said to the lads, it's you know, it's 9 cup finals now, and we just want to finish as high as possible. We've got a really young squad as well, so you know, they're always keen. A lot of them are actually playing on Wednesday for the college, so right. It's quite handy that.
Yeah, I suppose that keeps their eye in, doesn't it? So it's not as if they're without football completely. You finished 7th last season. You're 6th at the moment. If you stay on course as you are, you're going to finish better than last season.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan. Anything, you know, in less than 5th, I'll be disappointed. I'll be really, really disappointed if we don't finish in the top 5.
Right.
I'll be disappointed. And I think Brad and Adam feel the same. We've done really well this season with all the top teams. I think we've only conceded 2 goals in every game, lost by 2 goals, except for like Houston and Liscard, really. And then the 10 men, we've only, you know, we haven't lost by many.
Mm-hmm. Is it much the same side as last season, or very different, or what?
No, it's totally different, to be honest. Got rid of all the old guard, which was, you know, a bit difficult for us. But me, Brad and Adam, you know, made a decision to get rid of, you know, all them players. And it was a hard decision, but I think it's paid us dividends, really. You know, Adam's the youngsters, and so is Brad. We've brought them all in. We've probably got the youngest team in the league. And, you know, they're doing really, really well. We've signed a couple more, like Tom Strike, Alfie Watton, and Leesdale. So they've had that bit of experience, obviously playing higher level and stuff. They've come in and added that bit of experience, which really helped us.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of those names, and they are very recent signings. Has the chairman there allowed you to get the chequebook out, or what?
No, this is, you know, it's a very good point, that. We've probably got probably the lowest budget in the league. And it's credit to the lads. You know, I had Tom Strike at Plimstock when I used to manage there. And I, you know, he's not been enjoying his football of late. And I rung him and said, listen, come with me. I think you'll really enjoy it. He's a leader. He's come. And you know, the philosophy for me is it never be about money. It will never, ever be about, you know, paying big, it pays their expenses and, you know, maybe a pint and that's it. And I don't believe in paying big players big money in the standard of football that we are. I know teams, you know, do that, and that's not my philosophy or Brad's or Adam's.
So if you approached a player and the first thing he said or asked was about money, you would tell him no thanks, would you?
Yeah, I would. My time is more valuable to him. And this is my, Brad's and Adam's philosophy. I can give you time, but I can't give you money. And it's not saying that the Bulls haven't got money, but we'd rather do the ground and the infrastructure and get that right before we start paying players big money. You've got to see the ground improvements and the things off the pitch. So I think it's more important.
I don't know where the big money is in the peninsula these days, but if a club with, inverted commas, big money came in for you, would you be tempted to go to that club there?
For me, I've never ever took a penny as manager, ever, from any team that I've managed. It actually cost me money to, and Brad, it actually cost us money to be managers. And it's a hobby. It's something that I love. And I don't, you know, you've got the tea lady in there, you know, she's not getting paid. So I don't think it's right that, you know, we get paid. Mm. Your groundsmen, you know, all the groundsmen this season, think of all the hard work they're doing. Yeah. And I don't think that any of them are actually taking money either.
No. So, you're doing well this season. Who are the players that have stood out for you?
Joe Cook. I talked about him last season down at Newquay. I think last time I come on here, I talked about him. We've actually made him captain because Gino Garside, you know, he's gone back to the army, but actually he's come back now. But Joe Cook's been outstanding this season. James Morley, the keeper, as well. You know, very good Saturday. Two cracking saves. Kept us in the game. But Oscar Lowry, another one. He's come into his own a little bit. And Charlie, Adam's boy, he always gets a hard rap because obviously he's Adam's son. So he probably takes a bit more stick than everyone, really.
It's always difficult having family in the team, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it's difficult because Adam always talks to us about it. And he says, you never pick my boy because of me, lads.
Right. So, big game, well, Saturday, isn't it? It's not Good Friday. It's Saturday for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, Lisgard. It's always a big one, isn't it? Like local derby. But I fancy us. I really, really fancy us. We were unlucky at home. We got sending off, was a bit dubious. And then they ran riot, really, against 10 men. On Saturday, I think, oh, boys, no pressure on us. The pressure's on them. You know, they can't afford to drop points with St. Austell right on their tails. You know, we've got St. Austell as well, so it's quite nice to be playing, you know, possibly the champions. It's going to be a very good game. And our discipline this year, you know, I want to touch on that. Our discipline has been absolutely outstanding this year. We've been top of the disciplinary league all season across both leagues.
Right.
And I don't think, you know, I've got a bit of stick on social media this week, you know, from 100% Cornish. It gave me a little bit of grief on there saying about the way I conduct myself on a finder. Absolutely flabbergasted because you can't be top of the disciplinary league all season across both leagues and then get comments like that. You know, I know people don't like the way I conduct myself sometimes, but I've made a conscious effort this year to calm down and, you know, not get on the back of the referees because I understand it's difficult. And we've only had 18 yellows all season.
Right. How many did you have last season?
Oh, we were terrible last year. I think we were bottom half last year.
So do you think the players are playing with a bit more enjoyment because you're not getting so excited or what?
I touched on it. I think the refereeing standard is poor. I think it's poor.
Why is that?
I don't think they don't use the sin bin enough. Mm-hmm. You know, Phil touched on it last week and I thought he got it spot on. They don't use it. It's a tool there to be used and they don't use it enough. And they need to, if they sin bin someone in the first 10 minutes of a game, then like Phil said, they're not going to be doing it again. Mm-hmm. Because they allow it to go and it's a tool to protect ourselves a little bit. And I just want consistency to apply the rules of the game from the off and not in the 60th minute. And that's my biggest bugbearer with them this year. I know it's a tough job and they all get, you know, the referee on Saturday, I thought we'd done a fantastic job. You know, I wasn't happy with a few of his decisions, but, you know, it was a tough game to referee. And he got the red card wrong player by accident. And you can imagine, you know, the Nuki players wasn't very happy at all.
No.
But he handled it, you know, he got told by his lino it was the wrong player and he made the decision with Russia Blood off him.
So what happened then?
It was a push on one of our players. He pushed one of our players to the ground. I think the linesman told him the number but got it confused. He sent the wrong player off. I believe so. He sent the wrong player off. And then obviously things have gone crazy like you would. Mm. And I think they got two sin bins.
Oh.
Over the result of that, because they were giving him a bit of stick.
So the wrong player stayed off for the rest of the game?
Yeah, he actually showed him the red card.
Oh, right.
And it was a bit of... Our players were actually saying, we think you've got the wrong player, like trying to be a bit honest.
Yeah.
And because he's obviously already shown the red and made a mistake, you know, he's only human, you know what I mean? He's gone with his lino. And he's made a, you know, an honest mistake, which I think he probably regrets. But it's football, isn't it? It happens.
Mm. And the interesting thing as well is that you played Nuki on Saturday and that's your next game on Tuesday, isn't it? Which is a bit odd.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen very often, does it?
Well, with all the games being off, it's a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah.
What can you do? We're going to have loads of games. We're quite fortunate, really, because we've only got 8 games left. It's funny, we haven't got a game next Saturday. We haven't got a fixture, but then we've got all the midweek games coming up. But I think there's going to be a lot more on this game on Tuesday because I think a lot of people were annoyed from the Newquay side. So I think it'd be more of a footballing game because it wasn't very, you know, wasn't much football played Saturday. It was more of a battle, really.
Right. Okay. So as you say, you've got 8 games left. You've got Liskeard and St Austell. Out of those two, who would you put your money on to win the league?
St Austell.
Yeah? Why is that?
I just think they got the experience. Liskeard should have done it last year, and they didn't. And I think they wobble. I think with St Austell, the likes of Carter and people like that have been there and done it.
Yeah.
I think the Liskeard, I think they get nervous. I don't know. Because it'd be better for us as a club, because when they're away, we could probably nick some of their fans to come to us.
Yeah. So, does that frustrate you, actually, that Dobbles, they're not the most attended of teams, are they?
Oh, we're the most unattractive club, I think, in the league. And we're trying to make that better. You know, we've got a cameraman now, and Colin, the photographer, is absolutely fantastic, what he does in and around the club. And we're trying to grow the club. Everyone thinks Dobbles is a little club, and we're not. We're growing all the time with the juniors, a lot of them stuff going in behind the scenes with that, and it's growing and growing every season. The club has come so far, and that's why I've never left, really, because I love it down there. I love the people. There's a lot of hard work that goes in behind. Leslie is unbelievable in the canteen, what she does with the darts, and Andy Walker and Christian, the groundsman, are just fantastic down there, really.
Yeah, it's certainly a team effort, isn't it? Which has got to be the case at every club, isn't it? You've got to have the people behind the scenes, as you mentioned. So, yeah, well done to them, especially this season and the weather. It's been very difficult for everyone. You've got 8 games left, and how many points do you reckon you're going to get out of those 8 games?
Well, we've got to win 5. We've got to win 5 games. And this is the message to the lads. We've got to get something from this guard. And, you know, I'd like to get something from St Austell. And I've just said to the lads, if you want to be at the best, you've got to play against the best, and you've got to let's see where we're at, because we're building for next season, and this is the message with the youngsters. I know people talk about it, you know, building, but we're really, really, you know, next year is hopefully be our year. I'll probably get slated for saying that, but probably will get slated for saying that. But this year's been us learning the dark arts of football with the youngsters, and you know, starting to play the right way. I think the season's going to end a bit too early for us.
Mm. Interesting. I know we're talking about, you know, a long way away as such when we're talking about next season, but it's actually interesting because with the National League system, if Dobbles were to have a very good season and they were to win the league, there's no way really you could go up, is there? There's no way you could afford it. And the infrastructure isn't there, is it?
I think, And this is why I do it, because I think the players would do it. I think the players, you know, the group of lads I've got are absolutely fantastic, and they're not money orientated at all. We did an exercise last week where I asked them what they wanted from the club, whether that's, you know, a minibus, whether that's more money, and not one single player put down money on there. Hmm. And it's fantastic to hear that from the lads. You know, massive credit to them. But we've got to make it happen.
One final question then before I let you go. What would you want next season as manager?
As a manager? Ooh, if I say win it, I'm going to get slated. So I've never said to win the league. It's just continued development of the players, really. And my buzz is to get good players to go on and play for big teams. And, you know, give me nothing more pleasure if I see some of the lads that I've brought through for 2 or 3 years, go and play for Parkway and earn big money because they deserve it. That's my motivation, if I'm being honest.
Okay. Right. Well, thanks for coming on, Ben. It sounds as if you're enjoying this season. It's going to be a busy month, isn't it? You've got 8 games in just under a month. So fingers crossed that all those games get the first time go ahead and we'll see where you end up.
Yeah, brilliant. Listen, thanks for having me on. And I just want to give a quick mention to Brad and Adam, because they've been fantastic. And I've been working away a lot. And without them two, the team wouldn't be doing what they're doing. So Brad's desperate to get on here, but was working at the moment. He couldn't come on here today.
Right. We'll have him next time.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Good luck to all involved in the Ground Hop this weekend.
Hello. Welcome to the Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix.
Now then, what's happening in the Western League over the next few days? There's some all Cornish affairs on Good Friday, while there's also been a couple games involving Cornish sides already this week. Falmouth went to Street and won 2-0, whilst Saltash also won on the road 2-1 up at Wellington. I caught up with the Ashes manager, Macca Brown, to find out more and also hear his thoughts on the title race, which of course involves Helston and Falmouth, who just happened to play each other on Good Friday. Well, Saltash, first away win for almost 12 months. So I've got to get you on, Macca Brown. How did it happen?
Well, it wasn't pretty, I'll give you that.
Is anything pretty at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't think it's ever really too pretty up at Wellington. I think it's a really difficult place to go and play. And I think that's what I've experienced over the kind of three times I've been there now as a manager. It's a very difficult pitch to get the ball down on and play. And yeah, I mean, to be fair, we turned up and the pitch looked in really good nick considering the rain that we've had. But it's just a difficult one. It's quite a big slope. And it's a big pitch, but it always feels quite tight. So it's always messy, and I said that to the lads before, this is going to be a messy game and you're going to have to embrace that. You're going to have to kind of really get the basics right, and it's a really difficult place to go and win. And then when we concede obviously a penalty after 5 minutes, it makes the job even harder.
No.
But it was a brilliant response. I mean, we'd equalised after 5 years. Five years.
Yeah.
Feels like that. That's how long it's been since the away win, I think. 5 minutes obviously after conceding, we did well then. We were kind of, as I said, it wasn't pretty, but we were doing the basics right. We managed to get the second goal just after half time and defended well to hold on. We missed some really, really good chances second half, but so did they, to be fair, in the first half, going up the slope. Both teams going up the slope, missed some really good opportunities, but we managed to hang on in the end.
Like every game, it's important to win, but the fact that they were right immediately below you in the table or around you in the table, it was a handy 3 points, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the stage we're at in the season and the position where we are in the league, like any 3 points or any points, to be fair, are a must. But yeah, when you're obviously operating in that area of the league, you look at the fixtures against the teams around you, and it becomes integral that you pick up points against those teams. And to be fair, like, we would have been probably reasonably happy with a point last night away from home. So to get the win, it was a brilliant evening, because going midweek away from home is not easy, and it's a challenge for all the players. And yeah, we managed to kind of do the job.
Yeah, I was going to ask whether you have any problems with players, you know, not being able to get away from work and all that sort of thing.
Yesterday we were okay, but it is obviously an issue. I mean, Wellington, to be fair, it isn't a million miles away from Plymouth, so yeah, it's actually more straightforward than going down to the likes of Helston or Falmouth, to be honest, because you're just straight up the M5. So it wasn't the worst trip in the world. And yesterday we went up pretty strong, so we couldn't have had any complaints really. But sometimes it's just what other teams can pull in from around them, and Wellington's obviously quite close to the likes of Willand and Exmouth and things like that, and I think they had a little bit of help last night, so that you never always know what you're up against. So especially this time of the season, it was a really pleasing result.
Now you got how many games you got left? You got 8 games left, haven't you? So
eight now. Yeah,
it's a busy April coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously with the weather that we've had, I don't think we're as bad as some, but it just means you're going to be back to 2 or 3 games a week. But yeah, to be fair, that's better than training, I think. And it's something that the lads can look forward to. And hopefully we've done well in the last 3 games. We've kind of picked up some really positive results. I think we're 7 points from 9. We had a friendly on Saturday against Liscard and won that as well and kept a clean sheet. So we're adding that one to the mix. So we're just building a little bit of momentum, and hopefully we can carry that on over the bank holiday weekend.
Hey, that your pitch looked a mess after the Barnstable game, didn't it?
Yeah.
Was it as bad as it looked on the photographs?
Yeah, it shouldn't have been played. It's probably the worst conditions that I've been involved with where the game's actually gone ahead. I was surprised that the referee allowed it. because we had him last year and he called a game off when the pitch was frozen, and he was very matter of fact. So when I turned up to Salt Ash and saw the state of the pitch, and we had several people on there forking it and doing their best, and of course it was one of those where it was playable at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, but then you get that hour of heavy rain an hour before the game, and it destroyed it. And I think, the reality is, I don't personally think the game should have been played, and that's me kind of saying that after picking up a really good point there. But thankfully, and credit to the referee, like, although I think he made the wrong mistake by allowing the game to go ahead, he did manage the game very well. He did referee the game very well. But yeah, you've seen what it's done to the pitch and the knock-on effect of that. It means, I think, our reserves were off last night, and we've got to obviously make sure that it's in a state to play Bank Holiday Monday now. So it's difficult because obviously that costs money and it costs time with volunteers. But yeah, we got a point from it. So at least it wasn't the worst night in the world, because it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah. In fact, that was a very good point, wasn't it? Because against a side that's fighting for a playoff place, you must have gone in after the game on the results side of it very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did go in with belief, because I think we've had two really, really good performances against Barnstable this season in the FA Cup and the league, but we lost both games. And that was the message before the game, really. It's like, look, we can talk about belief and we can talk about confidence, but if we look at our actual performances against Barnstable in the previous games this season, we know that actually we can cause them problems. We know that actually on another day we would have got positive results. And that was a step in the right direction. And that's obviously with the kind of squad that we've got, we are taking small gradual steps in the right direction, and it's just having a little bit of patience to kind of allow them the time to do that. I mean, last night, obviously when we're looking at the profile of the squad that we've got, last night only six players were in my squad for the first game of the season. So it's been quite a turbulent season in terms of player turnover, not just obviously from the first day that I walked into the club, but even from the first game of the season. So we've had to have patience. We've had to give the boys time, and I think they are making steps forward. And the game against Barnstable perhaps was evidence of that. Because as you say, we they're a team that are up there. We know they're a team that got some really good players. And again, on another night, we probably could have taken all 3 points.
Yeah, I was going to ask you your thoughts on how the season has gone, because obviously you were at Millbrook. Well, in fact, this time last year, you were looking forward to Easter Monday Senior Cup final, weren't you, with Millbrook? But how's it gone in general for you?
It's been a difficult season, but I think it's been a season where actually, from a personal development point of view, like, I can look at it as from the job that I have to do. I've had to kind of hit it, or we've had to hit it as a management team head on, and we've had to kind of learn from the season that we've had. It has been frustrating, and I think obviously back in the summer when we walked in the door and you were inheriting the squad that missed out on winning the league by a point last year, your expectations are obviously quite high as to what you can achieve. But that obviously changed very quickly, and then obviously you rebuild a squad, and then that changes throughout the season. Like I said a second ago, like, six of the team last night played our first game of the season, so that kind of tells you the kind of season it's been in terms of player turnover and having to work it out. But it's all about expectations, really, and we want to be higher in the league, but actually looking at what we've got and looking at the profile of our squad, it's probably about right. And one of the big things for me this year actually is we've got a really talented squad, and I think everyone can appreciate that. I think everyone that's watched us can see that we've got a talented squad. But probably one of the most rewarding things this season, because we've not had many rewards in terms of points, we've not had many rewards in terms of wins, and it's easy to get caught up with that and get frustrated by that. But actually the challenge of developing these boys, perhaps from a psychological point of view, has been really kind of rewarding. Obviously you've got young lads in there, and you're not necessarily just telling them and teaching them and helping them develop on the pitch, but actually in the changing room as well, and kind of having to manage games or how to go into certain games and how to have perhaps a bit more of a mature outlook and a level-headed approach to games. And that's one of the things that maybe we weren't doing so well before Christmas. We'd allow ourselves to get very high or very low. And that's an unwritten rule in any sport, isn't it? You got to remain level headed, and I think that's been quite a rewarding, because we're starting to reap the benefits of that now. Like the lads last night, there's no greater test than going up to Wellington away from home midweek, going 1-0 down in the first 5 minutes, and having to overcome that problem, and they did, and they accepted the fact that it was going to be a bitty game and it was going to be a messy game, and it didn't bother them. Whereas several weeks ago, that was affecting them. So yeah, that side of it's been pleasing, but we think there's potential there. Don't get me wrong. I think we need, if you look at our squad compared to others, the teams at the top of the league have got a lot of experience in their squads. Like you look at Helsing, who are sitting top at the moment. Like Stevie Colwell plays every game, and there's a reason for that. And Matt obviously values what he brings in terms of that experience, and he's not got kids around him either. So we perhaps need to support these boys with a little bit more experience, and that's the aim, to take us on to another level. But yeah, on a whole, the season frustrating but also rewarding at the same time in its own right.
Okay, now games coming up: Good Friday, St Blasey away, and then Easter Monday, Ilfracombe home, and then you've got Helston away, haven't you? So some interesting matches there. How do you think that the league title is going to go? Because as a neutral, you can feel free to say whatever you like. Is it going to be Helston or Falmouth?
Well, Ricky Shepherd's currently doing the radiators in my house, so I better be nice. So yeah, I don't know what he's going to do to him. Well, I mean, look, you flip a coin. They're two obviously excellent teams, excellent squads, excellent managers, good lads in both squads as well. And I think obviously everyone will look at the game on Good Friday and see what comes out of that. But I don't think the league will necessarily be decided on one game. I think both teams have had, well, both squads have had brilliant seasons, and whoever goes on to win it will deserve it. And I imagine it will be out of those two. And yeah, it's difficult to call, really. They're different teams. Like, I think Helston I was having this conversation with Rick actually yesterday, and they just seem to get the job done week after week. They get the job done, and it may not be pretty. I mean, obviously I don't see much of their games, but speaking to Rick, he said it's not always kind of free flowing and dominating. He said, but they just get the job done, and that's a quality in itself.
It's a very, very experienced squad, isn't it? When you go through Helston one by one, they've got some very, senior players there.
Absolutely, and that's what I was alluding to earlier. Obviously, when you compare that to ourselves, and that's what it takes to be at the top. Lads that have been there and done it. They've got a few lads that have operated at a higher league, and they bring that experience and that nous with them. They do have that experience, which counts for so much. But what you've got at Falmouth, I do believe there is that there is a serious winning mentality. Like if you look at the last few years, and same with Helston, but the Falmouth have won multiple trophies. They've come up to the Western League. They go on their Vars runs. They win. They fight, and that's ingrained in them as well. So it's going to be a really exciting kind of last 7, 8, 9 games for them. It's probably going to be better for, obviously, as you say, the neutrals looking on, because obviously you know what it's like in that, when you're in that run-in, it's a bit nervy. And I'm sure whoever holds their nerve will go on and complete the job. But no, they both had fantastic seasons regardless. And I wouldn't be surprised, to be fair, if both of them go up, even if one is maybe through the playoff route.
Yeah, because obviously Saldash, you weren't with Saldash, but Saldash were in a playoff situation last season, but it was only the second place, wasn't it, that got that chance. This season, there's four teams, you know, second to fifth. It makes it so much more interesting and better for you guys, isn't it? They're going to be involved.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're in the race for the playoff.
Not quite.
But
Not
this season. But absolutely, you would have been, if we were obviously involved with Millbrook last year, it keeps your season alive. And you think, actually, you're probably looking at anyone in that top half of the table, and they probably have got one eye thinking, can we put a run together? Can we make it happen? So it does keep the season alive, rather than obviously you go out of the cup competitions in the last 10, 12 games, you're kind of safe already. It doesn't really mean too much. So yeah, it's a nice addition. Perhaps you feel for the team that finishes second, because wouldn't they just go up as an automatic promotion? But no, it makes it a little bit more exciting, and yeah, like, good luck to those teams that are in the mix there. I think we've got to play a few of them. I think we've got Bridgewater and Shepton Mallet in the mix. Torpoint, I'm not sure how far they are away. They've been amongst it as well. So yeah, we've got some teams that are in the mix there, and so we can have an impact on that.
Right. Okay, well, thanks, Macca. If there's one thing that you're really pleased about this season so far, what's it been?
That's a question. I suppose that we're improving. I suppose that we're seeing signs of improvement, and things are starting to take shape. I think in the last month when we started playing again, there's been a few clean sheets in there, and that's a sign of a good mentality. But yeah, I think it's the development and seeing the lads develop and get better. I think that's what I'm clinging on to. And actually, I still feel like there's signs of potential there that these lads can, they're not just kind of filling a gap, and they're not just kind of keeping the seat warm for somebody else. A lot of them can be a big part of Salt Ash's future if they want to be. And so, yeah, I think that's been a positive of the season. I think also as well, the games that we have lost, they could have quite easily gone the other way. And again, it's of course they didn't. And that's that, the fact that the stats don't lie in that respect. But we've been very competitive in every game. And when I was ringing around in the first couple of weeks of July and June trying to reassemble a squad, to be as competitive as we've been, despite where we are in the league, has been a positive for sure.
Right. Well, great stuff. As always, talking to you, Macca, and enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks, Dave. All the best.
That's the Western League, and thanks to Macca Brown. On the same night that the Ashes were enjoying that win at Wellington, Mousel were hosting the visit of Biddeford and winning in style with a great 5-0 result. A good excuse to speak to someone at the Seagulls who actually, this man, he actually came on a podcast with me ages ago. Now, believe it or not, this next guest, it's 6 years ago since I first spoke to him on a podcast. Welcome back, Charlie Davis.
Hiya, mate. I didn't realise it was that long ago we first spoke, actually.
I know. Incredible, isn't it? So,
yeah.
So, you've changed clubs since we last spoke. Mousel, how's it going?
Yeah, really good. Really enjoying it. So, change of scene. Had a bit of time sort of off as well, which was nice. But yeah, bit different. I'm really enjoying it. Actually, I'm quite glad that I've sort of taken the decision to get back involved. Sort of got the bug back for it. So yeah, can't complain.
And no wonder you can't complain, because we're speaking the morning after a 5-0 victory.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, the only thing to complain about is I didn't get much sleep by the time I got home last night. But but yeah, what a great performance. Yeah, really, really kind of proud to sort of say how good a performance it was from the boys, especially in the first half yesterday. I thought we were excellent. And actually against a side that are difficult to beat. You know, I'm aware that for example, Matt Buchan was out last night injured. So maybe a couple of players away, but even so, I thought we were sort of thoroughly deserving of the win. And like I say, against a good side, and especially first half, some of the football that we played, the energy we had, our pressing, it just really was. It was a joy to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, 5-0 it ended up, but I think it was 4-0 half time, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 4-0 at half time. Actually had sort of a bit of a flurry of goals. Once sort of one went in, it seems not too long after that, we were sort of 3-0 up, and then we got a fourth before half time. I guess the game, I guess, become a bit stale second half, but that's probably credit to Biddeford. They sort of changed their shape to sort of counter what we were doing, and that slowed us a little bit. And I think sometimes it is the way in those sort of scenarios. When you get a few goals ahead in the first half, the second half often sort of peters out a little bit. But did add a fifth towards the end, young Joshy Bissett. So which was a nice finish. But yeah, good night all round. Really couldn't have sort of asked for much more.
and a hat-trick from Hayden Turner, and I see he's notched up 100 goals now for the club.
That's it, yeah. We were, I don't know if, you'll see any video footage of, his actual 100th goal, but it did just ricochet in off his shin pad, which we're all having a bit of a laugh at.
Oh, you made it sound so good.
Yeah, it was quite fun. I don't even think he celebrated, actually, which will suggest how fortunate it was. But they all count, and his other 99 were, I'm sure much better than that. And he's been great for us of recent and all season. And I know actually sort of being in an opposition team, Hayden's always been a threat. So chuff for him. And I know he's really pleased to get the 100. Great achievement in not too many games as well, really.
Mm. He needs to go on holiday more often, doesn't he?
Sorry about that. Yeah, his fines are racking up, I think, so he might be able to afford one.
Right. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Pablo and I were looking at the league table. You were mid-table, possibility of perhaps appearing in the playoff places. Things have all changed very recently, very quickly, with obviously a win on Tuesday night, a win last Saturday against Bristol Manor Farm. You're now in fourth place. And whereas I was going to ask you, are you thinking about a playoff place? You've got to be surely thinking about it now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's all we've been thinking about, Dave, to be honest with you. And that's definitely been the message sort of, from the start when I've joined. And I know actually previously to that, sort of at the start of the season, that's what the guys have been focused on and targeted. It's a really tight, if you look at the league table, it's so tight. And a lot of those teams in and around, I guess if you went from kind of second down to eighth, ninth, they're all in and amongst it. The points are really tight. The games, occasionally you'll have a game in hand. It's so tight in there, but we've been focusing on that. And actually, at times that's been frustrating because, just coming off the back of Christmas, we had a bit of a tough run. But that's the sole focus for us. Can we get ourselves wedged in a playoff place and give ourselves something to play for at the end of the season. Fully focused on it. And I know yesterday's result sort of chucks us right into the mix, but we've still been eyeing that from afar, I guess, while sort of sitting in seventh or eighth.
Yeah, that win against Bristol Manor Farm, it sounds as if it was quite a comfortable victory, was it?
I think again we played some good stuff. They're a very, very good team. The league table doesn't lie in that respect. Difficult to beat, whether that's home or away, streetwise, got some good players. So we had to work hard for that one. But again, we had a really good performance, which is really pleasing sort of after last night as well, to put two performances in sort of back to back like that, after an away defeat the week previous. So I don't know if I'd say the word comfortable. It was a good performance. And the reason I wouldn't say comfortable is because of the standard of team you're playing against. That, Bristol Manor Farm are a great side. But boys performed, scored two great goals, worked really hard, had lots of energy, matched up in that kind of physical sense. And again, some of the football that we played, we potentially could have scored another one. I can think back to Ollie making a really good save off a corner. They had a goal ruled off for offside. But I guess other than that, we kept their chances to a minimum, which was really pleasing.
Mm. And how's the old pitch standing up to all these games, recent games?
A lot of pitches are the same, but it's an odd one actually, because in recent years, I think you always think down at Mousel that the pitch is such a carpet, and the ground staff do such a great job, but the weather's just been relentless lately. So it looks great, and actually credit to Billy, he does a lot of work down there. Every time we turn up, it looks unbelievable. But of course, as games go on, and like last night, we had a little bit of a downpour, and it is a bit of a pudding in places. But I say that's not to be disrespectful to the ground staff. I think many clubs will be suffering the same. It's holding up okay. I think the difficulty we have down there is actually if we have some rain just before kickoff, it tends to just sit on top, which doesn't help things. So So yeah, but it's good. I think we'll definitely be all right for Monday, sort of weather dependent. They've got a bit of time now to work on the pitch, so hopefully the rain holds off and happy days.
Yeah, it's not actually a busy Easter for you guys, is it? Because no game Good Friday. Your next game is Easter Monday now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Easter Monday, and then a big trip away. I think it's Larkhall the week after. So not too bad as far as the schedule's concerned. So I think we'll probably train Thursday, give the boys sort of the weekend off, and then go again Monday.
Right. Okay. Now, when we last spoke, obviously you were with Falmouth Town. I've got to ask you a couple of obvious questions, really. First of all, football in the Western League compared to what you're seeing at the moment in Southern League Division 1 South, how does it compare?
It's always a difficult question, that, because I just think you sort of run the risk of sort of giving an obvious answer of you know, I do think it's a bit of a step up, and you don't want to be kind of derogatory to the Western League, and that's not my intention at all. I think they're great leagues in their own rights, but I guess the same as a step up from the Peninsula League into the Western, it's definitely a step up, and I think that's the same for the Southern League. I do think that if you look at the sort of, I don't know, top six to eight teams, the setup that they've got both on and off the pitch is noticeable. You're coming up against some really good sides, some really good individual players. And like I say, a lot of those clubs have got things off the pitch going in the right direction as well, which I guess just adds to everything. You turn up to some of these grounds and they're properly ready to step up through the leagues, potentially. They're great non-league grounds. And equally, I suppose that I think the big difference for me is you can go to a mid-table team or even kind of lower in the league, in the Southern League, and teams don't give up points easily. Getting a point on the road or 3 points on the road is massive, and it's so difficult to do with the travel. And like I say, I think you're just dealing with teams that are a bit more streetwise. Players have been around the block a little bit. They know their structure and how they're going to combat you. So I think that's been a massive sort of takeaway for me this year. I think that's been key. Whereas potentially, I think back to time at Falmouth as well, there's some games you go in the Western League and you sort of turn up going up. Nine times out of 10, you'd know the result before the game. Whereas I don't think that's the case. And I suppose equally, as time goes on, you look at some of the teams in the Western League in the local area that potentially might come up. The more teams that go and do that, of course, the standard's going to potentially diminish in the Western League and then just increase in the Southern, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and obviously we've touched on Falmouth there. But why did you finish at Falmouth? Why did you step back from the game?
Yeah, just nothing really untoward. It was just, at the time, I was just really busy with work. I've just sort of taken on a few bits sort of in the office that would take up a bit more of my time, which then just, I think it just made football a bit of a stretch for me sort of personally. And then I think it started to just, I don't know, sort of wear thin in the fact that I wasn't able to put as much time and effort into it as I wanted, which would then lead into sort of frustration more on my part, really, that I couldn't give it the attention that I wanted to. So I spoke to Wesley back at the time, and just said it was getting a bit much, and he was awesome with things. We had a really nice chat, gave me a bit of time just to sort of have a break from it with a you know, an open door if I wanted to go back. But yeah, nothing, no kind of headlines or mega story there. It's just it was just a timing thing, really. And I'm glad I did it. Glad I stepped away, because I think now it's sort of given me a bit more energy to go back into things. But I still keep in contact with a lot of the lads at Falmouth, and it's been great to see them have their Vars run in particular this year and enjoy their normal kind of levels of success. And then, you know, like I say, get back involved. I think the timing was probably just right with regards sort of Jake and Fletch at Mousel, and I'd spoken to a few people as you're off and not doing anything. I'd spoken to a couple of different people at varying times, one of which was Jake. At that point, it wasn't really right for me, but he reached out back in the autumn, and yeah, it just seemed a good time. I loved what they were, you know, what they're about and the project down there. And it seemed like something a little bit different for me as well. So yeah, that's that. I decided to get back involved. And I'm glad I did, because I don't know if I hadn't gone down to Mals or whether I would even have bothered stepping back in again, really. I think that probably would have been me sort of picking some games to go and watch with here and there, just off a fixture list and probably not getting back into coaching.
And what is your official role or official title and role at Mosel? Because I think I said it to Pablo the other week, there seem to be more coaches down there than there are players in a dugout.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I don't, yeah, who knows? I think there's a kind of, I don't know. It's a good mix. Jake's obviously the manager. Andy and myself do the you know, the coaching element, sort of a training, and then you've also got Fletch, who kind of he won't get involved so much with the coaching side of things, but he's certainly sort of an integral part of the management team. We've still got Jack floating about as well when he can, you know, when work allows. So yeah, but it's a good mix. But yeah, there's a lot of people. But having said that, we had a session the other day when one of the guys was unable to make it, and it's funny actually how you become used to having that many people at training and how training can then flow. And you know, I think back to previous times, even like up at Wendron, where you know, I'd often do a session, do a warm up, do a whole match day on your own, and not have anyone helping you. It's yeah, good to reflect on.
Yeah, do you enjoy looking at the GPS stats that they get down there at Mosel?
Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's great for, you know, reviewing your performance. It's been really good with kind of injury rehab, injury prevention stuff as well. So it is quite interesting actually, and it's quite handy how we can use that then with sort of Beth on a medical side of things, just to kind of support the guys. It gives them a, you know, a little bit of competition as well. But yeah, we utilize it. So like one simple example, we maximal sprint the guys every Tuesday, just as a kind of injury prevention. But it's great to see those little bits that, I guess for the naked eye, sometimes a player might be saying to you, no, I'm fine. I haven't got a knock. And you can soon see that their max sprint speed's down a little bit, which would be a bit of an indicator that they might be lying because they want to play on Saturday. So it's quite interesting.
It's the old ice bath. I don't like don't like the idea of that at all, to be honest. But
It's not so bad telling everyone else to get in there.
Right. Okay. And whilst we're talking about fitness, and obviously you've had two games in a matter of a couple of days, everyone fit and available for Monday, are they?
Yeah, I believe so. To be honest, we should have. I believe we've got Morgan Lewis should be back for selection. He was just ill yesterday, but he served his suspension after red card. I believe Josh Story has now also served his suspension, so should be back in the mix.
Selection problems.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, which is nice, isn't it? I think even Kyle Fraser was ill last night. We rested Josh Otto because he's come back from a hamstring injury, but due to probably the suspensions more than anything, we've had to thrust him into more games than we might have liked, just from a rehab point of view. So that was nice. So it should hopefully mean that we're sort of fresh and ready to go on Monday, which is nice.
Good. Okay. And final question, I asked Matty Cusack the same last week. Cornish football at the moment, so many clubs doing well at higher levels. It's got to be the best you've ever known it, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know what? I do think so. And potentially that's a little bit overdue, because I think we've always produced sort of good players and good teams here in Cornwall, but not necessarily on such a sustained level as now. I don't know where that's come from, but potentially, Dave, I just think that the whole kind of grassroots infrastructure has played a part in that, you know, with I think right back to school football, and you see the lads now and what they're exposed to as far as coaching is concerned from a really young age. And I think that's had a knock-on effect of how many players we're seeing sort of breaking into either like the pro game or semi-pro level as well. And that's kind of, I think that's filtered down through the leagues. And equally, I wonder whether clubs have become a little bit more savvy off the field to make things a bit more sustainable, or even just attractive for players to stick around rather than, you know, moving further afield to play their sport, and attracting lads that are potentially, you know, into Devon, you know, out of county, in and around Plymouth, that I think now we're on a bit more of a level playing field. So that's all fed into it. But yeah, I would agree with that, and it's good to see.
Yep, certainly is good to see, Charlie. It's good to see you back involved in the game, and thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Good to speak to you, mate, and catch you soon.
Don't forget, you can subscribe to the Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix podcast. Just go to your favourite podcast platform and search for Cornish Soccer Talking Football. And also, if you want to listen back to any previous podcasts of Cornish Soccer, they are all available at anchor.fm/Cornish Soccer. Thank you.
It's good to see Charlie back involved in the game. Now, let's have a chat with another friend of the Rappo and Deeks podcast. Now, I've been ordered to have a catch-up with this next manager. Who is it, I wonder?
Ash Bicknell from St Morgan.
How you doing, Ash? Apologies, we haven't had you on the podcast this season so far, have we?
No, a bit of a rarity. Obviously, been on it the last few seasons. Obviously, enjoyed a chat with you and Rappo. Nice to catch up.
Right. So, what can you tell us? How's it been going this season?
Going well. Very different kind of season compared to the seasons we've chatted about before. Very big turnover of players in the summer, just on losing what was probably, in my opinion, the best front three in the league in pre-season to them all disappearing before the start of the season. So,
why was that?
Yeah. We had one, which was Harry Silverson leave to go to Newquay, who obviously scored the equal amount of top goals in the league last year. Another lad moved to another club for a couple of weeks as he was joining the army. And then another one broke his shoulder, dislocated his shoulder, and then moved on again to South West Peninsula after that. So, yeah, we had an interesting end to the summer, not a great pre-season. So, yeah, very different. But throughout the season, we've managed to recruit and promote from the second team. So, yeah, a different challenge, but a good challenge.
So, St Morgan, you're t'other side of Newquay from me. Do you get most of your players from the sort of Newquay area then?
Yeah, I guess so. Sort of in around that catchment area, because obviously we've got the second, we've tried using the second team and, you know, used within the local sort of catchment area of St Morgan as well. But we've had a few lads come over from Newquay Way, a few from sort of St Holland Way. So, yeah, a small catchment area, because obviously if you're good enough, Newquay come knocking before we do, unfortunately. But yeah, it's picking up what we can and picking players that suit what we need to do.
Yeah. Well, you're not doing too bad then, Ash, are you? You're third in the table. You can't complain too much.
No, I think third in the table, Dave, because we're unbeaten since the end of September in the league. I think we lost three of our first five or six games. And if you look at the defeats, there were sixth, seventh and 13th in the league, I think. So we've started with a few defeats, and then since picking up a few players, we've gone on this really good unbeaten run. We've played most of the top teams as well, so it's a fair reflection of where we've come, and the squad is arguably, we've gone from one of the weakest squads in August to one of the best squads I've sort of had at St Morgan since I took over. So yeah, it's been a tricky start, but it's got a hell of a lot better and we're really enjoying ourselves at the minute at St Morgan.
Yeah, and how difficult has it been because of the weather?
Never too bad at St Morgan, though, because the pitch drains so well. We are quite fortunate in the fact that we can get most games on, so our season doesn't become too interrupted, although that being said, when we're playing away games in the winter, we did go 6 or 7 weeks without a game because of the away fixtures, and then a couple of weeks without fixtures in this run just leading up to March. But yeah, it's been tricky, but then it's also given me chance just to rest a few players with a few niggles, and you know, that helps as well, because you get that little sort of international winter break, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. And I noticed you've got, what have you got, 8 games left? And as you said, more away than home because of your home pitch. But you go on until the 1st of June.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening with the Launceston fixture, which is a fixture at the minute for the 1st of June, but I believe that will be changed maybe to midweek or maybe the week after our last game in May, because there are a couple of gaps there. But I'm not sure in terms of Launceston what their fixtures are. But yeah, it's going to go most of the way into May, if not into June. But it's been good. I mean, we've actually built a stronger squad as the season's gone on. So actually, the season going on a little bit longer almost suits us in a way, just because we get a good chance to look at the squad we've built. And you know, we've travelled some weeks with maybe not our strongest squad, but confidence is high at the minute. And being unbeaten for such a long while, you know, at the minute you can't have enough games, can you?
No, that's right. And I'm assuming your sort of aim is to finish runners up.
Yeah, I mean, we started the season away at Sticker and there wasn't a recognised out-and-out forward in the whole squad, and there probably wasn't for a couple of weeks. So at that point, the aim was very much sort of a restructure, and we had a lot going on off the pitch with the clubhouse being open, the change rooms being open this season, and we were looking to make sure the second team was strong as well within the club, and it was a very different outlook 6 weeks into the season when we'd lost three games compared to now, where we sit third, you know, in tight company, Torpoint, Saltash, and Saltash Borough, obviously in and around us. But, you know, the aim is to finish as high as we can. And from where we were in August to where we could be in May, June, I think it's been a really good turnaround season. And hopefully, you know, this unbeaten run and a couple of challenges ahead of us with Saltash and St Dominic to come, it could sort of set the tone for next year and see where we can sort of progress to next year.
Well, what are the sort of ambitions, aspirations that you've got there at St Morgan? In a couple of years' time, where do you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been talk about it. I mean, the last couple of years have been very focused on the facilities and the plans of the chairman in terms of getting the ground looking like a top Cornish ground. And I mean, I always say it when I'm on here, but if you haven't been to St Morgan for a long time, you wouldn't recognise the place now when you do turn up and watch a game. I mean, even as we speak today, there's more work going on at the club. So the aim off the pitch is to sort of make sure we've got good facilities, one of the better facilities if we can, sort of in definitely the South West League and down. And then on the pitch, it's keeping this squad we've built since sort of December time together in the summer, and maybe adding a couple more, maybe returning a couple of faces, hopefully next year. But, and then the aspirations next year would be, if we start well, apply to go up to South West and then see where we should finish in the league.
Yeah, how would you be fixed? I'm thinking floodlights. Surely you would have a problem with floodlights where you are, wouldn't you, or what?
I believe the chairman's had conversations about the floodlights, and I mean, it comes from him, the aim of obviously wanting to push up to the South West Premiership, because I think he's had the sort of half go-ahead to say we could get floodlights. I mean, I'm not sure if it would be those floodlights that at the end of a game sort of slide down into pockets. I'm not sure how it would work, or whether we'd have to inform the airport of certain times.
Yeah. You'd get a plane landing.
Yeah, it could be. It would have to be. It would have to be thoroughly thought through. But I believe we can get floodlights, and the aim is to go up. So they must be confident of doing that.
Right, okay. And, the vision of a plane landing sort of just made me laugh a little bit. But change of rooms and clubhouse, how's that looking these days then? You said there's, you know, continual work going on.
Yeah, obviously we opened them the end of September against Torpen, actually, as our last fixture. And since then, it's just been a case of sort of slow and steady to a degree in terms of making sure what we've put in is right, and obviously getting people to come and do the work. And, you know, the clubhouse is a little bit bare at the minute. We'd like to make that a bit more homely. But obviously with all the work in the kitchen and the change rooms, it's, at the minute, it's taken sort of a back seat to that. But yeah, the aim is just to make it, I mean, I think the chairman's on about extending it already and having an outdoor seating area and another area where there's going to be a bar, like a bigger bar. So yeah, the vision at St Morgan is, you know, very good. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I joined the club 7 years ago. We probably had the worst setup and the worst pitch in Cornwall, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think now when you get visitors to Trevarium, they're first instant is sort of, wow, like how much has it changed? And I think the plan is to keep progressing. I mean, I believe the chairman would like to start maybe hosting sort of semi-finals and stuff in the near future, and sort of piloting the entrance and the clubhouse and the change rooms and the pitch. Because, you know, during these winter months when these cup matches need to be played, Trevarium is holding up probably better than most. And there is a chance maybe with an East versus West sort of fixture being, hopefully, if we were to get floodlights, being hosted there in the near future.
Right. Okay. And we've mentioned the chairman quite a bit, but what's his actual name?
That's Jamie Phillips.
Jamie Phillips. Let's give him a bit of a plug, because it sounds as if he's quite an ambitious man there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he'd moan at me if I didn't say his name then. I mean, he owns the Terrarium Holiday Park and his family. So St Morgan's always been played there, and now it's a real push. I think he recognises that the team's probably in the best state it's been probably ever in St Morgan's history, but he's really sort of pushing forward to see what we can get, maximise the space, and, you know, hopefully the club can keep growing.
And what about volunteers? Because we know that every club really has never got enough volunteers. How are you fixed there at St Morgan?
We lack in that department, definitely, but I think those that do volunteer have about 8 jobs each. So we keep ourselves busy, the ones that can help. But, you know, we've built a sort of squad really with the same lads that have been playing together for sort of 7, 8, 9 years, and they all put in a fair share of effort. I mean, I don't know what other clubs' players do, but our players seem to do hell of a lot off the pitch, which is always, for me, a great thing to see, because the sort of, they play for more, I think, when they're involved more, don't they? So. Mm.
So what's your favourite job on a match day then? Is it the pre-match talk, or is it getting out there? Or what do you look forward to the most?
I can tell you it's certainly not being 15th man and having to come on and play 8 minutes away at 4-point Dave on the weekend. I think favourite part is just being around the lads. I think, like I said, we've got such a good group, and just being around them and sort of, you know, we haven't seen each other for sort of 7, 8 weeks or whatever, just training nights. But, you know, you can't beat getting together for a match day and just setting up the warm-up and getting the team ready, can you?
Mm. And Polperro Saturday, what are your chances? Well, it's got to be an away win, surely.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope so. You look at the sort of league positionings, and Polperro maybe not at their best right now, but you throw into the mix a few Good Friday fixtures. You don't know who they'll bring in on the Saturday. We drew with them at home. I mean, we were the better side, in my opinion, for large parts of that game. We just couldn't find the net. But, yeah, you'd say with the form table at the minute, we'd be looking there to go for 3 points and keep up this sort of surge for runners-up, or definitely the top 3 or 4.
Mm. And I'm looking at your team stats, and there's one thing that stands out, and he does get a mention on the podcast once in a while. Craig Allen.
Yeah, Craig Allen returned, I think, maybe just after Christmas. So St. Colin Major were going through a bit of a tricky phase, and they lost a few players. And, you know, I've been on at Craig since the minute he left St. Morgan to come back, and finally we got him back, and, you know, he's brilliant. In my opinion, he's the best forward in the league. He's going to get you more goals than anyone else if he plays the full season. So, yeah, he's a large part of what we do. Unfortunately, he does have commitments with work where he can't play every week. And when you go down to Falmouth in the quarterfinal, it's the one game you want him to be available for. And typically, he's not there because he's got work. So, yeah, he's instrumental in what we do, really. He obviously scores a lot of goals, but, you know, we've also built a good side around him that others chip in, and we went up to Torquay on the weekend with more of a different squad, a very sort of different squad. Of, you know, we're missing sort of 5, 6 key players, and we can still do it without him against top sides, and that's a real credit to the lads and the squad we've got.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I'm looking at Craig's record so far this season, 5 appearances, 7 goals. That's pretty impressive, but you do need all the other players around him, don't you?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I would like to say he's a striker that needs players behind him, but to be honest, most of what Craig does, he does do by himself. But, yeah, I mean, he's a goal machine. I think, you know, in one season before COVID, he had almost 40 goals in the St. Pirans in the first season he started. So he's a goal machine. And, you know, if you can get get Craig playing most weeks and, you know, in the form he's in again at the minute, you stand a real chance of beating anyone in our league, in my opinion.
Right. And I hate to say this, but the only game I've seen you this season was that Falmouth match where you lost. And you were running the line and you still had time to talk to me. You should have been watching the game.
Yeah. my fair share of jobs to the linesman as well nowadays. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, we went down to Falmouth. I thought good enough on the day to maybe get to extra time. I don't think either team were better than each other, but I mean, you were there, you've seen the game. It was a couple of goalkeeper mistakes towards the end of the game. Howler's on, my one definitely Howler. But yeah, I mean, Jordan has been so good in goal for us, and he saved a 92nd minute penalty 2-1 on the weekend. It's 4 points. So with goalkeepers, it swings roundabouts, and, you know, he wins us points, but then also, you know, they're in that position where they can cost you once in a while. But yeah, that Falmouth game just doesn't sit right. I think we had a big chance to win that. Obviously, missing Craig and a couple of others that day as well. So, weren't our strongest, but we gave a good account of ourselves. And I think definitely next year we're looking at trying to go deep into the cup competitions as we can.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks again, Ash, for coming on the podcast. You've done well. You've told us all we need to know at the moment about St Morgan, but we'll be looking out to see how you progress over these last eight games. And
remarkably, Dave, we've got to play St Dominic twice yet in the league.
Ooh.
And they might have won the league before we even face them for the first time. So, yeah, there's a bit of a stat. But, yeah, I mean, they're the sort of games you look forward to throughout the season. Obviously, for us, they've come right at the end. I believe their last game is actually at Trevarian, but yeah, we look forward to testing ourselves, seeing where we're at. And, you know, they are the runaway side this year in St Piran's. So, yeah, we look forward to the last eight fixtures to sort of measure where we're at anyway.
Right. And who knows? You might see that the trophy presented to St Dominic this season might be you next season.
Well, Dave, this will be the third season in a row that the trophy's been lifted at Trevarian, because we've had it twice for Saltash Borough in the last 2 years. Got a feeling the trophy may be at Trevarian to be lifted last game of the season this year. So let's hope with tradition we can lift it at home next year.
Right. Thanks very much, Ash.
Cool. Cheers, Dave.
You can subscribe to the Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix podcast. Search for Cornish Soccer Talking Football.
Let's have a quick look at the women's scene before news on Cornwall Junior Cup and, of course, Truro City. Right then, results from last Sunday in the Regional Women's Football League in the Premier Division. Well, Liscard enjoyed their trip to Bristol Rovers, playing on a big ground, and they didn't quite like the result, though. It wasn't that too bad a result, I suppose, in the sense that Bristol Rovers are looking good this season. Liscard went down 3-0, while St Austell, at home to Sherborne Town, they won 3-1. In the Western Division, there's an all Cornish affair, Helston 5, Sticker 3. And in Regional Women's Football League Divisional Cup second round, Saudash United came through 3-1 against SGS Overston United. More cup football in the form of the Cornwall Women's Football League Mason's Kings League Cup. And this was a semi-final game. FXSU beat Codrose 3-1, whilst St Dennis against Saltash Borough was postponed. In Division 1 of the County League, Penryn 2, Maswell 5 and St Agnes 7, Bude 2. Whilst in Division 2, there were a few more games. Padstow won 8-0 at Charlestown. There was a double bill, Ludgeron against Callington. The first game was 0-0. The second game, Ludgeron won 2-1. Redruth beat St Agnes Reserves 8-0. And there's a draw between Wendron and Biscovay 1-1. As for the fixtures coming up, well, I can tell you now, they're not going to take very long for me to give out these. There's only two. One on Sunday, and that's in the Western Division of the Regional Southwest Regional Women's Football League. Saltash United are at home to Biddeford. That's a 2 o'clock kickoff. And on Easter Monday in the Cornwall Women's Football League Division 2, Redruth play Lanner with a midday kickoff.
If you have any ideas for the Friday Fix podcast or wish to provide feedback, please, please do so. Just contact us on Twitter @SoccerPodcast. or let Rappo know also via Twitter. He is at MarkRapsey1.
Now then, we might not know the finalists for the Senior Cup yet, but at least we do know now what is happening in the Junior Cup. The semi-finals were staged earlier in this week. It featured, well, one involving two teams from the West against each other, and very conveniently, the other semi was two teams from the East. On Wednesday, Llanrith came out on top 5-0 against Biscovay, that result going with the favourites as Llanrith are St Piran League Division 3 East, whereas their opponents are in Division 4. That result followed an even more one-sided result in the West a night earlier as Division 3 Dropship, who reached the final last season, they went through against Division 2 Falmouth United, winning 7-1. Here's their co-manager Nick Chin, and apologies for the sound on this clip. It was a rather windy underlain at Wendron on Tuesday.
Well, for a semi-final, it's very unusual to be, to win 7-1 tonight. A lot of respect for Falmouth United. I coached for a number of years as a youth team coach, so I've got a lot of feelings for Falmouth United. It's great to see how they achieved coming from youth football to create an adult side, you know. And we knew they'd play the game the right way. They're not too physical. Let us play, and we let them play. And on the night, we was lucky enough to, you know, get a good result.
Yeah. Was it important which way you played the first half? Because you had most of the game in the first 45 minutes, only 2-0 up.
Exactly, yeah. I did say to my son, the skipper, I said, on the way out, which way are you going to play if we win the toss? And he said, I think we're going to go downhill with the wind. But we're a good football side, and we played at Marazine this year, so we've played against the wind or up the hill down there, and we tend to play a better football against the wind, to be fair. We struggled on Saturday against the Murm with the slope and with the wind. And if we do play better football, we play it to feet, a bit of pace up top, you know, they create a lot of chances.
So here's a question for you. Who got all the goals?
I think there were 7 individual goals.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think there were 7. Yeah, the last one was a great one from Oscar. Brody had a couple.
Surnames, please.
Oh, so so Brody Kemp, Connor Hurrell, Tyler Prescott had 2, a striker.
That's 4.
I can't remember the others. That's the trouble. I was 2-1 hat tricks.
But last season you were obviously finalists. This season you were into the final. You've got to play what, Llanivet or Llanrith or Biscovay? Yeah. So does it matter who you play now? You're there.
League positions. You think you'd fancy Biscovay because they're in Div 4 East. We went and watched Llanrith play Llanivet, actually. It was an awful day. Everything was cancelled down the west, and we took an hour and 15 minutes to go up and watch. It was an awful day, and that's really not a fair example of what they can do. They're very strong through the middle, good defence, good boy midfield, and they had a good striker, so it's going to be a good game. They're a league above us on the east, so potentially they're favourites, but you know, the lads need to go one step further than they did last year.
Does the league places actually make any difference, though, when you look at drop ships, some of the players you've got?
Not really. We know the boys should be playing higher league.
Why aren't they?
They've come down to play with Kevin, and with Kevin Fisher, the owner of the club, and he's got a clever sort of business brain, and he's encouraging the lads to be sponsored, to work for him, as well as to encourage to play football for us. So it's a growing, it's a process, and it's an interesting journey. I was at Falmouth Town a couple of years ago, and you know, they're a bit nomadic, and we need a home ground, but we are Falmouth based, a lot of us, you know, and we've got taken lads from the Penn and Falmouth area, and they should be playing higher, and we will be playing higher next year.
So when I hear this, that, you know, players are being paid at dropship, technically they're not, they're earning their money as such, but do they get a lot of money?
The younger lads, maybe, you know, £20 a game, £20 a week. Some of the older lads who, you know, get a bit more, but they do put it in. They've got to go to workshops, they've got to produce for Kevin, they've got to produce the designs for him to make money, and his money is producing to pay for the subs, to pay for training facilities. We always look professional, you know, what we wear, and warm-up tops, everything. So he's got a plan. He's definitely got a plan, and we're all enjoying it at the moment. So we need to go higher. We are looking for a place to stay next year. It's still wide open at the moment, but we have got a couple of places we have to play next year. away for a couple of years.
Yeah, because you've been a bit nomadic, haven't you? Well, in the last, 5 years or so, you've been all over the place.
Absolutely. I think the club started at Cure. I think it was Campbell Park, I believe. Then it was Cure. Then last year, the boys were at Parramporth. This year we've been at Marazoya, and then we...
Holmans have been mentioned.
Yes, yeah, we were looking to go to Holmans, then the seconds played there a few weeks ago and absolutely ruined the crowd. So
you're not allowed back there.
Yeah, basically. And Mozo have not happy with us at Marazoya. So, there's a couple places we're hoping to go, but it's all a bit hush-hush at the moment.
Right. Okay. Well, you're third in the table at the moment. You've got a game in hand, so you could... Could you go top or not?
We need to play eight. If we go unbeaten, we're champions. But I can't see Probus losing. To be fair, they're a good side, and Holmans are a very good side. It's a tough league. We were just saying that. I think our league is maybe a tad stronger than, Titan and Lugan are very strong. And then it's anyone's sort of business, But I think all three may go up if they do, when they do the leagues again next year. But yeah, we need to win all eight to win the league.
Okay, and final question, man of the match for you guys tonight?
Man of the match, probably Robbo. 43-year-old, still doing it out there, bossing it, encouraging the young kids. They love playing with him. Connor and San and the youngsters are only 17 and 18, and they'll learn a lot from him, and his knowledge is, it's great to have him in the squad.
And by the sounds of him, he's really enjoying it, isn't he?
Yes, he's so enthusiastic. He's a great man. He doesn't train, believe it or not. Never trains. Plays his golf on Friday. He gets the games late. He lives in Coonavon, does a lot of travelling. He's a top professional. A good example for the youngsters. And they love him to bits.
And I can tell by the smile on your face you're enjoying it.
I am enjoying it. Yeah, I had 2 years out. I was captain of the golf club for the last 2 years. I was at Town before that. I was at Mabe. Had some very hard days up at Wendron. Don't get me wrong, I've lost a few finals up here, but today was a lovely event for the boys, and I've really enjoyed it.
And the pitch, how's it finished?
It was heavy. Yeah, I feel to be fair to Wendron, yesterday's rain, I didn't believe it'd actually be played today. I didn't get some rain last night about it, thinking about the game. But to be fair to Peter Thorne, as ever, what a brilliant club. They put on, they showcased these events for us, local football. Five teams they run here. It's a really credit to him. And great credit. We're 10 minutes away, but you wouldn't believe it. They've produced the last 10 years up here.
You wouldn't have believed it because everyone was under shelter as such, but it's a good crowd tonight, over 500.
Honestly, wow, that's great, because as we all did, we quote that, come at your house tonight, it's a bit chilly and a bit windy and rainy, so to have 500 up here was brilliant. I didn't realise that. That's great.
Well, that's what Peter told me anyway.
Yeah,
anyway, good luck for the final in the league.
Yeah, thank you, David. Good luck.
From the National League South through to the St. Piran League, this is the place to be.
Last for this week is, of course, our highest placed club, Truro City, in the National League South. And I suggested to Gareth Davies, the club's head of media and communications, that gradually the 50-point target that has been mentioned a few times now, well, they're getting actually very close to reaching it now, I reckon.
Yeah, we are, Dave. I think I wrote that in the match report from Tuesday night's game against Dartford, that it does seem like that. It's another point on the tally. In all honesty, it never looked like being 3 points. It was one of them games where Paul Watton said this in his post-match piece to me, that it was cagey in the first 20 to 25 minutes. I don't think either team had a shot on goal until about the half-hour mark. And then I think we're being generous to say it was a shot on goal as well. Ryan Brett had an effort from outside the box, which, went miles wide. But because of what had happened in the game, or what hadn't happened in the game, should I say, I think, we did say it was a chance. Then Dartford probably had the better of the chance in the first half, I would say. Ollie Bray, who in a bit of a quirky twist of fate, a week ago he was a Truro player. He then gets recalled from his season-long loan with Truro back to Aldershot, only for him, the reason he was recalled was to sign for Dartford, which was a little bit peculiar. But it was all there's no animosity or anything like that. And Ollie was a really, really nice lad as well, and he was a pleasure to have around the place. And but you know, he started the game and he had two chances before half time. One that he just kind of like poked wide. He got in front of the defender at the near post and poked it wide. Then the other one was a header which James Hammond just sort of like shoveled over the bar. Again, could you call them chances? Probably half chances. In the second half, Truro did have a good chance actually. Tyler Harvey, brilliant bit of control in the box, chested the ball down, just couldn't quite make any kind of contact. I think if he'd really put his foot through it, it would have tested the goalkeeper. It didn't. And then the game just descended back into that kind of like back and forth, a little bit scrappy, really. Dartford had probably more of the ball, but never really looked like threatening Truro's rear guard. Ben Addlesbury was unavailable, which meant Will Dean slotted into one of them three central defensive berths. So, but you know, he's very good at playing that role because he's a ball playing midfielder. So although he isn't the tallest, what we perhaps lose in a little bit of height, we've got with someone that could bring the ball out from the back. But we never really looked in any trouble. And then with about 20 minutes to go, we made two changes. We brought Josh Hines on and James Malhado, tweaked the formation a little bit. And we looked a lot better. Truro looked a lot better then. Still didn't really create anything until the final 10 minutes when I think our fitness told, which was a positive. And again, Paul Watton said that post-game that the fitness, we looked sharper than Dartford did. We looked like we had more in the tank than they did. They looked absolutely spent. It was a difficult night. You'd think that it players wouldn't get heavy-legged playing on an artificial pitch. Mm-hmm. You would if you were playing on an absolute mud bath, but the rain was torrential and the ball moves about so quickly on an artificial surface that the game's played a lot quicker. But Truro finished the stronger and had two really good chances in the last 10 minutes. One, it was a corner that was kind of like half cleared and Ed Palmer fired it across the box. Tyler Harvey at the other edge of the box, 6 yards box, this is sort of connected, hit it first time with his left foot, perfect connection. Where I was sat in the press box, I thought it had gone in because it rippled the net, but it hit the side netting and then went behind. And then we had another chance. James Malhado got free on the right, crossed the ball into the box really low, and it kind of hit two or three bodies, hit a couple of our lads, hit one of theirs, I think. And it looked like it was creeping in the bottom corner and the goalkeeper makes an unbelievable save. And you just think, this is going to be 0-0. But then that wasn't quite the end of the drama. And then they had a really good chance at the other end. Dartford, probably their best chance of the game there. Defender Ronnie Nelson, he got kind of free in the box and sight of goal as well. And Tom Harrison just threw himself at it and sort of hit Tom, went behind for a corner. And again, you just thought, well, this is going to finish 0-0. I think it's a better point for Truro than it is for Dartford, Dave. If you look at the games in hand, I actually spoke to the Dartford manager afterwards, Aidy Pennock, ex-Bournemouth player, someone who I grew up watching. I can remember him playing for Bournemouth. He was kind of a player that could play either as a defender or as a central midfielder. And he left Bournemouth after a couple of years and went on to have a pretty decent career. He was part of that Gillingham team that very famously lost the playoff game to Manchester City when they were 2-0 up and then drew 2-2 and then Man City won on penalties. There was a number of ex-Bournemouth connections in that team. The goalie, Vince Bartram, was ex-Bournemouth and they were obviously managed by Tony Pulis. So, I had a chat with him, but I could see from AD's body language that, you know, they are staring down the barrel at relegation. You know, they haven't, I think, only won once this calendar year. They haven't won at all under his tenureship. He became the permanent manager back in March. I think they've picked up 2 points. So they did draw against Hampton Richmond in their last game. Again, they were quite neat and tidy on the ball, but didn't really carry any kind of threat going forward. You did look and think, where are they going to score a goal? You actually thought they're going to score a goal if we make a mistake, whereas it wasn't like that for us. And certainly, as I say, as the game went on, we kind of stretched them about the pitch. We got in behind the fullbacks quite a lot. But as I say, 0-0, I saw some chat on social media afterwards about, you know, should be beating teams that are below you in the league and all that kind of stuff. And I get that. But I think if you look at Truro's position in isolation, Dave, with the games in hand, edging towards that 50-point mark, you know, 42 points now, it's 8 points we need. We need to win three of our last 12 games. Although, I say 12 games, we don't know what's going to happen with the Eastbourne game. That's still undecided and ongoing. Will it be replayed? Will the results stand? I genuinely don't know. That's down to the National League to look at. It looks hard to see where that game's going to be slotted in before the 20th of April, so we don't know there. But Truro just need to get to that magical 50-point mark and then start building for next year, really.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, a draw is better for Truro than for Dartford, for sure, isn't it? And you got three games coming up now in the next, before our next podcast. It's Slough at home, Chippenham away, and Hemel Hempstead at home. Now, first of all, home is Gloucester, isn't it, for the rest of the season?
Correct, Dave. Yeah. So that we made that announcement last Friday that all the home games are going to be played at Gloucester now. There's just the assurances that games will go ahead. You know, again, I've said this before when we've talked, we appreciate this is not ideal for supporters. It's not ideal for anyone, really. You know, listeners might have seen, you know, this story has attracted some significant national interest.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's done pieces with the BBC, actually was even on Sky Sports News on Tuesday morning.
And I have to say, he looked quite chirpy, I thought.
He did. He looked very dapper as well, didn't he? I did comment on him. I said, you dressed up for the occasion. No, look, I spend a lot of time with Paul. I speak to him quite often, obviously, as you'd expect. I think he's gone beyond the stage of getting frustrated with this situation because I don't actually think, what does that achieve, Dave, at the end of the day? What does that achieve? Sitting there at night, you know, trying to get to sleep, worrying about, it's gone beyond that now. And, you know, Paul, one of the things he said to me numerous times, and he said it in his piece he did with his namesake Rob Watton on Sky Sports News on Tuesday morning. It is what it is, and I think that's Paul's attitude around it all. You know, it will be a fantastic achievement if Truro stay up, given all that's happened this season. And like I say, it is so unprecedented. That's why there's been a significant interest in this story. You know, I'd kind of been expecting after the BBC ran a piece last week, which got about 150,000 views, because I know the guy at the BBC that did the piece, and he told me, you know, which is unbelievable for a non-league football story. And then I was kind of waiting for one of the, I thought TalkSport would be on it first of all, to be honest, because some people, I think TalkSport were doing a piece. Jeff Stelling did a piece on Monday, I think it was, where he was talking about this fixture schedule that Tottenham have got, where they have to play four games in 15 days. And loads of people had said, crikey, what about Truro City? You know, they're the semi-pro players, not full-time professionals. I'm not trying to say that that's not hectic for Tottenham. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But yeah, then I got an email on Monday from one of the producers at Sky Sports to say, you know, we'd like to speak to your manager. And so, you know, I was able to facilitate that and get all that sorted. And yeah, it's good publicity for the club. But you know what? Actually, I think it highlights the situation we're in at the moment as well, which is, you know, which as I say, it is unprecedented. It's not through any fault of our own, you know, fixtures that have taken place this week and haven't taken place. Taunton's game against Slough was called off. They did manage to play two games last week, but then they get another game called off. You know, one of the other venues we've played at this year for home games, the pictures of the pitch with a almost look like a piece missing out of it. You know, that shows that the problems that we've had getting these games on. So taking fixtures to Gloucester is not ideal, but there is that level of security. We know the game's going to be played. Now, what I would say and I would advise supporters is There is some changes to kickoff times because of this. We'll start with Good Friday. So Good Friday, we are home to Slough Town. Now that game will kick off at 5 p.m. That game will kick off at 5 p.m. That is because Gloucester play Brackley on the same day. Gloucester, again, and we must thank Gloucester, have been super accommodating. Gloucester have shifted that game. Gloucester's game, I believe, should have kicked off at 3 o'clock. But Gloucester and the National League have agreed to move it back to, pushed it back to 1 o'clock.
Right.
So Gloucester will play at 1 o'clock and then we play at 5 p.m. On Good Friday. And I believe there's one other Saturday as well, Dave. I can't think off the top of my head, but there is one other Saturday when we play on the same day as Gloucester again. We've done that once already this season. Gloucester played Boston in the afternoon, and then we played, who did we play? We played, I can't think, oh, we played Chelmsford, that's right. And so we had to be, we had to kick off a little bit later. There is one game, as I say, there is one game where that happens again. I'm just trying to get this up so I get this right. Yes, so it's the Averley game on Saturday, April the 6th. That will kick off at 7:30 p.m. opposed to the traditional 3 o'clock slot on a Saturday. Other than that, all the fixtures are to be expected times. So midweek games are 7:45 start. The only other game we have on a Saturday is April the 13th against Maidstone. And that game does kick off at 3 o'clock. So of the two Saturdays that we play at Gloucester between now and the end of the season, the one against Averley kicks off at 7:30 p.m. and the one against Maidstone is at 3 o'clock. I think if you look at that, Dave, I'm actually just looking at it now. I've got the fixtures up in front of me. Only two Saturdays. The rest are all midweek. I think that shows the that shows the problems we have. But for supporters, and we're talking on Wednesday morning, I haven't put it out in the public domain yet, but by the time the listeners listen to the podcast, which I believe is a day early because of Good Friday, so it will be Thursday morning, people will be listening to this. We would have announced that the games against Torquay and Yeovil both being streamed by National League TV. Now, that is a you have to pay for that. But if there were supporters that wanted to see the game, that didn't want to travel all the way to Gloucester, and again, we totally get that. You know, it's a long old way. You can watch the games on National League TV. That's Tuesday, April the 9th, and Thursday, April the 11th. I believe the streaming passes, don't quote me on this, but I believe the streaming passes are £9.50 per game. So actually, that's a bit cheaper. Now, I'd always want to go and watch the game, Dave. I'm one of them people. I think you are as well. But if you if you wanted to watch those games and, you know, you thought, I'm not getting in the car and driving all the way to Gloucester, then actually you can sit and watch it.
Yeah,
you
know, it's a good alternative. Good alternative, isn't it? So that's good to hear.
Is, and I'm saying I was unsurprised that the National League TV people picked both of those games. The game against Yeovil, which should have been played back in early February, that was actually picked for National League TV. Then the National League have changed how they do that a little bit now. They were streaming every single midweek game under this paywall, but they've changed it mid-season where they only do selective ones now. So between now and the end of the season, at this stage, they are the only games that are being broadcast live on National League TV. However, there could be more given permutations of promotion and relegation and playoff places. I don't know how far in advance they decide, but so I know I got an email on Tuesday to say that those two were live on National League TV. And, you know, with where we're playing at the moment, Dave, as well, I think we need to publicise the alternatives for supporters to follow the games. I mean, I'll say, and I hope you don't mind me promoting this, but on Monday, the game against Chippenham is broadcast live on BBC Radio Cornwall. I'm doing the full commentary for that one. So the listeners, and I think, you know, Radio Cornwall's great for that because you know, it's not just your FM radio where you can listen to Radio Cornwall now. You can listen on DAB and obviously through BBC Sounds. You can listen anywhere in the world to that. So yeah, live commentary of that one as well. So that's three of the games that, where there's an alternative for supporters. And also for those that don't want to, those fans that don't want to purchase National League TV streaming passes, so watch it. I don't think it's been 100% confirmed yet, but again, we will when it is. I've had conversations that the game against Torquay will be broadcast live by BBC Radio Devon. So again, for those that can listen via BBC Sounds, you'll be able to listen to that. And the game against Yeovil will be done by BBC Radio Bristol or Somerset. I'm not sure who does that, actually. I think it's a BBC Bristol production for Radio Somerset. I know the lady who does the commentary for Yeovil game, Sheridan Robbins, really great broadcaster. So again, alternative ways for people to follow the games. The game against Averley, the game against Maidstone, I'll be doing updates for those for Radio Cornwall. So actually, we are sort of trying our very best to give supporters an alternative. But, you know, for those that want to turn up in person as well, genuinely, the players, the management, everyone at the club absolutely appreciates the support. You know, great numbers for a wet, miserable Tuesday night as well. Last night, you know, they sung and they made themselves heard. You know, there was alternative of watching England labour to a 2-2 draw against Belgium on the telly as well. And, you know, and so, like I say, but some people just love live football, don't they, Dave? And they will, you know, they'll want to go out and watch it. But
yeah,
again, we understand that it's a long way to travel, so there are other options to follow our hectic end of season schedule.
Right. Okay. Well, it is hectic, and as we said, three games coming up. Who knows, Gareth? When we next speak, you could be at that 50 points.
Oh, Dave, I think there'll be a collective sigh of relief there. Although, you know, everyone involved in the club, you know, have been around football long enough, and you and all the listeners that are listening to know it ain't over until it's mathematically possible. And I genuinely think, given the season that we've had, until it is impossible for Truro City to be relegated, then I think we have to assume that we're still battling to be safe. But yeah, you're right. It would be lovely when we speak in a week's time to have picked, lovely to have picked 9 points up, wouldn't it? Mm. But it'd be, you know, it's going to be difficult. Slough are a very, very good side. It'll benefit them playing on an artificial pitch, because I believe Arbor Park, where I think that's where Slough play, I think that's an artificial surface. So that's no real, you know, there's no real advantage or disadvantage there. It's probably more of an advantage to Slough, really. Chippenham have picked up some really good results recently. So that's going to be very, very difficult. And Hempstead as well. There's no easy games in this division, Dave, but I say it like I've said it before. We've proved that we can beat good teams in this league, and we are a good team. You know, we've just got to try and manage players' workloads and get 11 players out on the pitch who are fit, and we'll take it from there, really, without wanting to coin the phrase from Paul Watton, it is what it is, and we'll just see what happens, won't we?
Right, well, that's a good place to finish on what Paul is saying at the moment. It is what it is.
You're listening to the Cornish Soccer Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix.
So all that's left for me to say is thank you, everyone, for listening to another Rappo and Deeks Friday Fix. A little bit different from normal, but and also it's going out on Thursday instead of Friday because it's Easter, and unfortunately it hasn't featured Rappo either. Next week we will restore order, I can assure you. For the moment, have a great Easter and make sure you get out to enjoy some football. Remember, if you want to check on all the games being staged, just look on the respective league websites or via the Cornwall Football Forum.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.
your Cornish Soccer Podcast.